Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us this day as we are just barely at the very trail end of Advent, the time of kind of preparation, of anticipation of the coming of Christ, both as we celebrate, remember his first coming, and as we look forward to his second coming. So I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we'd always do, remembering our baptism, remembering who it is that we belong to, and beginning our service in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so very much for this beautiful day that you have given us, and this season, Lord, that you've given us as we continue to prepare for your for the celebration, Lord, of your very first coming. And I pray that you would continue to prepare us. Help us, Lord, to take a moment and live in awe of this miracle of the incarnation, Lord, that we are about to celebrate. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunities to remind and to share this message with our families. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning as we gather in your name to receive from you all the gifts that you have for us. All this we pray in your name. Amen. My friends, it is now time to confess our sin. And in 1 John 1:8, God tells us, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing.
Thank you. My name is Brian Falls. I am an elder here at St. Mark's. This morning, it's my privilege to read the first scripture reading from the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full of themselves hire out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Thus concludes the first scripture reading this morning.
The sermon text this morning is going to be Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a small town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. It's now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would come forward at this time. And I want to remind you, please stay out just outside the rail here so that you don't crowd Mr. Bryan.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. All right, kids, come on down. Have a seat. You need to. Yeah, you can come a little closer. That's fine. Well, am I coming through? Can you all hear me out there? Okay, I couldn't hear it. So today our Bible readings are about something very similar. And as we talk about our Bible readings, I want you to remember two really, really important things. Okay? If everything else doesn't make sense, there's two really important things to remember. Number one, miracles are real and miracles really do happen. Can you remember that one? Miracles are real. And Christmas is a miracle because of Jesus' birth. Okay? Christmas is a miracle because of Jesus' birth. That's why Catherine loves it, she says. Me too. Now, we're going to talk about some other things and some big words, but first, let's talk about some really important moms in the Bible. So, in the scripture reading, it mentioned Abraham, and his wife was Sarah, so she was a really important mom in the Bible, and her babies were what kind of births? They were miracles. Can you say that? They were miracles. That's right. And then we had Hannah, and she gave birth to a son named Samuel, and guess what kind of a birth that was? It was a miracle because she was an older lady. And you know, what age do you think most ladies have kids?
30 or
20. 20s and 30s usually. They can, you know, have maybe a little younger, maybe a little bit older, but these ladies were well older than that. So they were miracles. And then we had Elizabeth. Well, guess what? When she gave birth to John, that was a
miracle.
And we had her relative, maybe a cousin, Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, and Jesus' birth was a
miracle.
Okay, so those two important things that we said, that miracles are real, and that Christmas is a miracle, we got that. Okay, so let's go a little deeper for some of our really, really older brains. Let's talk about what Jesus was because he was a combination of those other people. Samuel, that was Hannah's son, he got to anoint or choose the first two kings of Israel, David and Solomon. They called him a prophet. Prophets know what God's plan is in a way that other people don't. And then we had King David, who was a king, okay? So we had a prophet and a king. We also had Levi, who raised Samuel, and he was a priest. A priest is the person that can go between us and God, and that's Jesus now for us. So do we have to pray to anybody else other than Jesus? No, we don't. That's the miracle of Christmas. Jesus came, and he did the work for us. We don't need to do sacrifices and things like that anymore. And so Jesus was a prophet because he knows everything. He is a priest because he makes us right before God. And he is a king because he rules with all authority. Is that good? Okay, so I know some of that stuff got kind of complicated. Let's go back to what we know. Miracles are, everybody at once, miracles are real, and Christmas is a, can we all get on board with that? All right, let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for Christmas. Thank you for miracles. And thank you for those mothers who gave us such important people. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Or if you'd prefer, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Admittedly, I don't know any lyrics after that. I'm awful with lyrics. That's deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. The reason why I just sang three short little parts of songs to you is it gives a sense of the concept of what is December, what is the season of Christmas all about. It's of course about joyful things and being happy and jolly and it's wonderful and nothing is sad or awful ever. I'm not singing for you again, at least not yet. But the point that I was trying to make is that there's a certain perception regarding Christmas, the Christmas season, December, and the way that everyone should be approaching it, right? Of course, it's a time of parties and celebrations and wonderful lights all strewn about and decorations. And why wouldn't you be happy? But sometimes you're not. But more on that later. What I really want to focus on, actually, is two songs in the Bible. Now, songs are a little bit challenging, I have found. I really enjoy narrative. In other words, I love the story and the progress, and maybe a little bit of dialogue that moves the story forward, but action, you know? And then this person did this thing, and then they went over here, and all of that is what has driven me for reading the Bible for a long time. But you get to these songs, these poems. Man, do I struggle with it, if I'm honest with you. My brain just wants to go like, cool, they said some words. Can we get back to the action? Let's go. And the reason being is because songs in the Bible, the Psalms, all the poetry, requires the individual to slow down, to pause, and really reflect on the words. Not just what the word itself is, but what possibly is being communicated within it. And it requires to look at one set of lines and look at it compared to the next, or look at these two lines compared to the next, and really, really, what biblical songs require of the individual is to say, what does this have to do with the rest of the story? And so we're going to meditate on that a little bit here today. And so you have Mary, and Luke in his gospel account has recorded for us an intriguing setting next to one another, a young woman who's betrothed, but she is a virgin. against a significantly older woman. And Mary has an unexpected thing happen to her. An angel comes to her. Now, Luke actually begins his story with a different angel encounter. For he comes to the priest, Zechariah. And Zechariah, for all that he does with regard to the worship of God, is a bit surprised by the angel's announcement. He doesn't seem to really expect what's been said to him. I'm sure he knew about Abraham and Sarah getting pregnant very, 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 very late in their life. And yet for him, I think it just reserved himself to, I know the future and it just ends. The future for my wife and I is to be cut off. And so when the angel comes, he's astounded. And we know this because in his response, there's a little bit of a taste of a bit of doubt. Like, how can this possibly happen? I realize you're an angel in front of me, but this is ridiculous. And Zechariah is struck silent. In fact, he doesn't get to speak again until he demonstrates he truly believes fully the promise of God, fully who this child is and what he has come to do, John the Baptist, when he writes and says, his name is John. And then he can speak again. And you have a tale of a priest who should have known better up against a young woman who in that society had pretty much no standing whatsoever, who says a similar sort of response, how can this be? And yet you see glimpses both in her response, her ending having been told by this angel, you are going to conceive and bear a son who is from the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be of the line of David. He is going to be the promised king. And she responds, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And yet she goes and visits Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit after having her son leap within her, hearing the voice of the mother of Jesus. And Elizabeth proclaims, behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy, and blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And I think Mary in that moment, leading up to that, both believed but also understandably had some doubts. And I say that because she exclaims after having heard this exclamation from Elizabeth, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he is mighty who has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, and he scattered the proud in their hearts. Now I just want to pause for a second, because it's easy to read this and go like, oh, cool. That's the thing that she said in that moment. How nice. And I'm saying that as one who has done that. Please don't hear me wrong. Again, my brain wants to go right past this song and be like, that's cool. Let's get to the action. And so I'm intending to slow us down and say, this is an odd thing for her to say in this moment. What I mean by that is, you know, so you have an angel come to you and you say, yes, this is going to be the king. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. And yet Mary here in this song, with respect to what is going to take place concerning this child, is talking about mercy for those who fear him generation to generation, shown strength of his arm, scattering the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. Why? Why is Mary bringing up that point? I mean, it continues. God has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. God has filled the hungry, those who are lacking food, with good things. And the rich, he has sent empty away. God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. As I was researching this, reflecting upon this, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface on the wondrous things that God is communicating in this song. And part of this is just, a general disposition toward the songs in the Bible invite us to slow down and ponder them and read them and reflect upon them. But in my scratching of the surface, I put before you today the other reading, the first reading that we had, the Song of Hannah. Now, in case you're not familiar, or just because I like talking about the Bible, Hannah was somebody at the beginning of Samuel. You have Moses has long been dead. The Israelites have come out of bondage of slavery in Egypt. God has brought them to the promised land in the book of Joshua, and they've taken over the territory for the most part. And then in the book of Judges, you have a lot of cycles of the people turning away from the true God, turning instead to idols, false gods. And what was rampant then was improper worship, trust not in the true God, but in these idols, a lot of injustice taking place because of this. And so God allowing, in the book of Judges, a lot of cycles of God saying, I'm going to let this other foreign entity oppress you, to cause you difficulties, to make it so maybe you are getting killed by them, or you have to pay them money, tribute, or other things that are unpleasant. And in that cycle, then the people recognize, we have done wrong by our God, and they say, God, please help us. And God would raise up a judge and deliver them. And then for a time, they would turn back to the worship of the true God. But then the cycle would repeat. And once again, God's people would turn away from him. And once again, God would allow some other entity to rise up against them. And once again, they would cry out to the true God. And once again, God would deliver them. And so you have in this time of the judges a cycle over and over and over again. And if you read the book of Judges, each generation kind of gets a little bit worse. And so here it is at the beginning of the book of 1 Samuel. It is at the very end of the time of Judges. And you have this man who's kind of depicted as faithful, Elkanah. And he goes up every year to the appropriate feast and offers sacrifices. And he has two wives. And one wife has produced children for him. And one wife, Hannah, her name meaning favor, does not have children. In other words, her future seems to be kaput. Her line is kaput. Her value, her sense of what it is that I am here to do, is all out of whack. And so she is distraught. And even though every year her husband tried to show favor to her, there was the sacrifice, and they get to eat a portion of the sacrifice, and the double portion that was supposed to go to actually the firstborn, he gave to this wife who is barren. And said, here, look, I have favor on you. Now, he also is perhaps recorded as the most insensitive husband ever, because she is distraught, and he says, why are you sad? Am I not worth more than 10 sons to you? I don't think that went over so well. In fact, we know it doesn't, because she goes out and she is weeping and wailing so badly outside the temple that the priest who is there thinks that she is drunk. And he tells her, stop with your wine. Stop getting drunk. And she's like, I am not drunk. I am distraught. Because I have nothing. Despite being named favor, God has not shown favor to me. And I'm praying and crying out to God, do not forget me in my lowly estate. And Eli the priest says, may God do for you what you wish. And intriguingly, sure enough, she gets pregnant and has a son. And as she promised, she dedicated this son and gave Samuel over to the temple. But in light of all this context, now Hannah has a prayer, a song, a poem. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exalts the Lord, lifts up, celebrates the Lord. My horn," is a metaphor, if a bull fights and then they win victory, they raise their horns up. So it's this image of victory. So horn is a sign. I can explain that later if you want in an email. Just ask. But anyway, trust me when I say horn here, both at this point in the poem and later, is talking about victory. My victory is exalted in the Lord. Again, reminding you, what just happened? She has had a son, and this to her is victory. And this is the concept and scheme with which she is looking at and praying this song. My mouth derides my enemies. The other wife of her husband used to deride her and berate her, jab at her. "Oh, look at how many children I have. You have none." Oh. And she says, "Because I rejoice in your salvation." In other words, what God has just done for her is a saving act. And this is astounding. She says, "There is none holy like the Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." And here it's an intriguing thing again about my encouragement before of songs. What's being communicated? Slow down. Where else is God called a rock? Well, it's another song. In this case, it is the song of Moses immediately preceding his death. In other words, Moses has been used by God to deliver his people. His people were in bondage and slavery in Egypt. And God brought them out. And they wandered about in the wilderness in the times of trials and temptations and testings. And God walked with them through all that, through many failures, mind you, by them. And Moses has a song recounting everything that they have done and said, "God is our rock." And so with this simple song of Hannah, she is connecting her experience of God delivering her, giving her a hope and a future, God showing favor to her. She's tying that into the experience of all of God's chosen people, Israel, whom God has brought together through bondage and slavery of Egypt and brought them through the trials of the wilderness. She continues, "The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble, they put on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread. Those who previously had many things to eat now are working hard just for scraps, morsels," is what that says. "But those who were hungry, they have ceased to hunger, for God has fed them. The barren have borne 7. Nice, complete number. But she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn, the victory of his anointed." You see, Hannah, in her experience of crying out to God and God listening to her cry and God doing a miracle, she recognizes that she is continuing on the story and tradition of what God has been at work doing in the lives of his people for a long time. As well, she's emphasizing, highlighting something that's intriguing about the nature of our God. For the way in which God operates within his world is a complete reversal of what is expected. In other words, God does not align himself with those who are already mighty and powerful and strong and say, let me lift them even higher. But God looks at the lowly. He looks at those who are poor in spirit. He says, to you I have given the kingdom. And so you have an intriguing thing here where Mary, who is pregnant with Jesus, can make a claim and say, this is who this one is and this is what he has come to do. Now if you look at the whole Gospel of Luke, it's all a complete reversal of the expectation. Those who are strong and powerful have no power. Even in the death of Jesus, it is Jesus himself who has the power and the authority. He has the authority to give his life and to take it up again. It's not Pontius Pilate who by his power and might kills Jesus. And it's not even by the Sanhedrin, by their power and might, that they kill Jesus. And yet those who are lowly, the blind, the lame, those who have no social standing whatsoever, those are the ones that Jesus and his ministry elevates, because this is how God operates. And it's something he did all the way back with his people in Egypt, tying through thread after thread of the truth around and back through to Jesus. And this is why I encourage meditation on songs. And as we think about a song fitting for Christmas time, as we think about our Savior, perhaps a very fitting one, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel meaning God with us, the with us God, one who walks alongside of us and knows our struggles. And ransom captive Israel. Ransom, a payment for one who is in slavery, captured, for the purpose of being set free. That mourns in lowly exile here. Again, you have the history of people who have been bondage of slavery in Egypt, and yet also in the cycle of things, God allowed his people to be exiled, to be uprooted from the comfort, where in their comfort they allowed themselves to chase after other gods, to be swayed from the right worship of the one true God. And God allowed them to be dislodged and go into exile for a time. But he kept a faithful remnant that he restored to where they came from. Forgot the fourth line now. I'm good with lyrics. It's awesome. That's in here. Thank you. Good times. Until the Son of God appear. So in light of this backdrop, this reality that is this broken world, a world that is often in rebellion against its creator, we are encouraged to focus instead on our Savior. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to you, O Israel. Because the reality is that we are still living in a broken time. For all of the joyful colors and to do around us, we all have difficulties. The difficulties might be, as we think of Christmases past, of the joyous times that were, and now there are loved ones that we have lost. Or maybe it's For all the joy of Christmas, we don't look forward to getting together with family because we know the struggle and the pain that that will be. Because it's always a pain. Or maybe it's for all of the goodness of Christmas, it always seems to just miss the mark on what we actually need, what we think we need. We run ourselves ragged with this party and this event and on and on and on and on. And by the time the month is over, you take a breath and you're done. Because the reality is that for as wonderful a time of year as this is, often it's all a facade. Because the struggle is real. Because you have experienced death, or you have experienced the pain of sin against you, or you have experienced the temptation that lingers. And if that is how you are at this moment, so close to the wondrous celebration as we remember the birth of our Savior, I remind you that you have a God who is with you. You have a God who is carrying you through these difficulties that you are facing, walking alongside of you, holding your hand. Emmanuel has come. Rejoice. Rejoice. Emmanuel has come to you, O Israel. Look to the Son. Look to your Heavenly Father, who in these difficult times walks with you, guides you, who has sent His Spirit to help you, to be your comforter. When it feels like all of the rug has been pulled out from under you this Christmas season, put your trust in the One who has created you, who has saved you, and who guides you and loves you. In those moments of difficulty and despair, cling ever so tightly to your God. For He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen.
A friend. Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield.
Friends, let us now confess our faith. Please stand as we confess. We will use the exclamation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence this morning. We thank you so much that you welcome us here, Lord, that you make it possible for us to be here at all because of the death and resurrection of your son, the baby that is to be born, that the baby that was born, Lord, on that first Christmas, Lord, that we have, that you have earned for us the righteousness, Lord, that makes it possible for us to stand in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would be with us all, Lord, as we prepare, Lord, to celebrate your coming. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, Lord, to the needs of the people around us, Lord. I pray that you would help us to, and not just their physical needs, Lord, not just the needs for gifts or physical things, Lord, but their spiritual needs, Lord. The needs of encouragement, the needs of the reminding of the gospel and the love and your love for them and your love for all people. Lord, the forgiveness that you give, Lord, the presence that you show us, Lord, in our lives. The promise, Lord, that you will be with us always, Lord, how you carry us through the most difficult of times. You give us strength and help us through. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to bear witness to all of these truths about you as we go into this holiday season so that, Lord, we may be the bearer of your grace, the bearer of your love, and be truly encouraging, Lord, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray that you would be with all of those, Lord, who are traveling over this season. So many people going so many different places, Lord. I pray that you would bless us all with safe travel, that we would get to the places that we are going without interruption, Lord. But if interruption happens, Lord, I pray that you would work through it to give us opportunities, Lord, to show your grace and your love in those situations as well. Lord, I pray for all those who are around the world today, Lord, those who are serving in the military and away from family, those in missions, those who are just working overseas, Lord, all these people, I pray that you would continue to be with them, Lord. Just as you came to this world to be Emmanuel, God, with us, Lord, I pray that you would help each and every one of them be able to remember, Lord, that you are with them as well, even if they are in this distant places in the world. Lord, I pray that you would give us opportunity, Lord, to be your grace, to reflect your love into this world. Lord, I pray that you would be with all those who are sick and recovering from illness and or facing surgery. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give all of them, Lord, the strength and the knowledge and the remembrance, Lord, that you are with them as well, that you are their strength, and that, Lord, that that you never leave us alone in our troubles, but you are always there to hold us up. Yeah. Lord, dear Jesus, all these things we bring to you this morning, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Yeah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we are moving into our time for Holy Communion today, I do want to mention we had a First Communion scheduled for this morning. Again, poor Lizzie. We had First Communion scheduled for her the first time we went through this whole thing, and she got sick. Like pneumonia sick, all right? So she wasn't able to be here. And we rescheduled for today, and guess what? She's sick. So pray for poor Elizabeth. Oh, that's just such a rough thing. But let us celebrate Holy Communion this morning. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Worship and bow down before the Lord most holy. Thank you.
Dear friends, we're coming up on celebrating the coming of Jesus, but today Jesus came among us here. In his body and blood, he has made his appearance, and through this body and blood, he has promised us forgiveness of sins, strength, and salvation. And so as we know that our God's promise is true, depart in his peace and in his joy, amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. And let's stand up as we sing the final song.
Who was
Please be seated. Today we have no Sunday school, but we do have adult, or youth could go to, Bible study offering. Pastor Bill is going to be teaching in the prayer chapel there about 11 o'clock, if you're interested in sticking around for that. But I'd like to invite Denise Kasten up, actually, at this time. She wants to give us an update on the Cornerstone ministry here.
Good morning. Thanks for giving me just a minute to talk to you about Cornerstone. You might have thought of it as like the Benevolence Fund, the Disaster Relief, and we renamed it a while back Cornerstone because Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation of what we do. And the cross is really our reference point when we decide how to help people, what's the best way to go forward. We pray about that. And we really do focus on Jesus as the foundation of all that we do. So I wanted to let you know that starting at Thanksgiving, we gave away 20 turkeys and even more gift cards. A member of our school donated those. We had the Tuesday Giving Project, which produced a lot of interest, and so not a lot was given. There were a few hundred dollars given during that time, but even after that, just some really big donations were given because people were aware of the work that we're doing in the community. And these are donations outside of our church. So every year when we have Tuesday giving, and you see it on the Facebook page, please share it everywhere. At Christmas, we've been able to help over 36 families. I say over 36 because I know of 36. But sometimes people come in and ask for a little help. Pastor Bob meets with them, prays with them, helps them, or Lauren or Pastor Josh or someone else. So I'm aware of 36 that we have helped with blankets, clothing, gift cards for food, and, of course, toys. And the big reason that we could do that is because of our partnerships. We have partnerships with other ministries and nonprofits, such as Not in Our Backyard in Eureka. You may have heard of them. Also, St. Vincent de Paul, MomCo, previously known as MOPS, who meets right here. Those ladies contribute as well. Did I mention, St. Vincent de Paul? Oh, My Life Resource Center, of course. And then Piece by Piece in House Springs. So these are all ministries that we have developed relationships with. We've gotten to know them. We bless their people. They bless our people. And we work together in the name of God to do that. I wanted to also let you know that, the work that has been done, the giving, the shopping, the wrapping, the delivering, all the things that you have done are very, very important parts of serving the Lord because we are one body. We are one body in Christ. And 1 Corinthians 12:27, I actually looked that up today. You are the body of Christ. Each of you have a part in it. So thanks for doing your part. And for example, a Bible study got together and collected some money to supply a young mom who's in recovering from stage 4 cancer, and all she wanted was an experience for her family. She didn't want toys. She didn't want things like that. We gave her those things anyway, but she wanted an experience, and so they came together to raise money to buy Magic House passes for her family, and she cried so hard. Now, she doesn't go to our church, but she knows the people in our church. And she knows that she is loved and her children are loved. So the most important thing for you to understand about Cornerstone is because of your financial gifts and the things that you bring in, that helps us to go meet people where they are, develop relationships, pray with them, and support them emotionally and spiritually, not just physically. So that's really important that you know that. And if you want to be involved in any way, talk to me or Pastor Bob, Pastor Josh, Lauren, anyone, and we can share with you ideas on getting out and being boots on the ground and working with people, or just accepting a financial donation, which means a lot, because without that, we couldn't do what we do. So thank you so much. Thank you for making it a very special Christmas for everyone, including me. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you for that update, Denise, and thank you for all that you do with Cornerstone Ministry. Thank you to all of you who have participated financially and helping, giving gifts and everything. As she said very well, it makes a big difference for so many people. The last things I'd like to highlight is this Tuesday is Christmas Eve. In case you weren't aware, you probably are. But we have two services. You can find the times in our bulletin. And, of course, then Christmas Day, Wednesday, we do have a service that day. If you're interested, see the bulletin for the time. Otherwise, I pray you have a blessed week. Blessings on this Christmas time and season. And God be with you. Amen.